This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another podcast of Thoughts Become Things. This is Jeremy Lopez, and I hope everyone has having a great day today. I tell you, it's going really good for me, and cold as ever outside. In fact, we were just mentioning earlier on the news that it might have little snow flurries here in Alabama, so that's a little shocker. But hey, you know what? It's cold, and I'm happy in all things, but I wish it was a little bit warmer outside. But I hope everyone's doing great today, and once again, I'm glad you guys decided to join with us. We have thousands of listeners all over the globe who tune in to this podcast of Thoughts Become Things. And I'm honored and thrilled to know each and every one of you and to know that you guys are on board with this ministry. I'm loving this every day. So I wanted to talk today about something that I believe is very important to talk about. All right. Now, as many of you know, I'm a huge New Testament follower. I totally believe in the Bible completely, you know, in its fullness. However, there is more when it deals with the New Testament of how I should live my life as far as character, personality. It even tells me more of my identity in the New Testament than it ever did in the Old Testament. And my point being today is this. I wanted to talk about, is God truly raising up an army? Because a lot of times people, and we're hearing it today, like give you a great example. There was, when we deal with last week here in D.C., you know, we had all these people, you know, gathered together and, you know, I don't get political and presidential about things, you know, with you guys. So I feel like as a prophet, you always stick with the things of Jesus and you always lead people to the kingdom of grace. That's the role of a true prophetic person, not to dismantle and disrespect the anointing and almost come to the place of almost heresy or blasphemy to actually belittle the prophetic by bringing it into a type of political system when the Bible has made it plain to us to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And I always tell people, I say, look, you know, you can gripe and complain and argue about Trump being in office and Trump not being in office, but the truth is you're losing your friends, you know, by doing that for one. For another, you know what, whether it is this week, next week, or 4 years from now, he's going to be gone out of office. So will Biden or whoever else is president, right? So my thing is this, be wise, people. Don't be a jerk, you know, about stuff. Be wise. Don't lose friendships over it. And by all means, don't sort of disrespect the Holy Spirit and the anointing by birthing forth your prophetic word and your prophetic giftings, I should say, within the arena of a system that God tells us to come out of. And I think sometimes Christians, they forget about that. So when people are gathered there, of course, you know, hey, there was so much rioting going on, and I mean, there's windows busted out, there's offices. I think Nancy Pelosi and several offices were actually, you know, had things stolen and thrown and ripped apart. And most people would say, hey, you know, that was an Antifa, that was, was it QAnon or whoever? You know, my thing is this: I don't care who it was, it's wrong. I don't care if you're a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled Christian speaking in tongues, prophesying all day long, it was wrong. Bottom line. It's never right to steal, never right to tear property, especially the capital of our nation. So my point being with all that is this, is I've heard a lot of people, and this is something that really has troubled me the past month or two, because I'm watching this beautiful thing we call the church, you know, and the Bible makes it plain that, you know, how beautiful is the feet of those who take the good news of the gospel. And yet, to be honest with you, right now, I'm seeing the dirtiness and being disgusted with the church because their feet are not beautiful. Their feet are disgusting right now. I'm being blunt about it. Because they've got this warfare, you know, almost like vindictive mentality, and they've stepped out of the character of Christ and feel like that they need to take, you know, responsibility on their own hands because obviously God can't do a good job himself. And so my point being with all this is this. People have gotten militant, and I've heard many people in my life coaching sessions, people I prophesied to, people I've spoke with, you know, from a day-to-day basis, and I see a lot of people, thank God not all Christians, because it would be a horrible religion. I'll be honest, it's a horrible, horrible witness to the world if every Christian was like this way. But guess what? Unfortunately, we have some really radicals out there. And you know what? Muslims have radicals. You know, I'm sure Buddhists have radicals and Hindus have radicals. There's always radicals in every group, in every religion. And unfortunately, in Christianity, we have major radicals that to the point where they just bypass the character of Christ. They bypass the peace. They bypass, you know, the battles of the Lord's. It's almost like, you know, pardon my language, screw that scripture. We're taking it up on ourselves, God, because you can't do a good job. That's pretty much what you're saying. That's pretty much what most people are saying right now. And it's unfortunate. You know, it's almost like, peace, I'm not turning my other cheek. God, screw that. I'm going to get in there because, you know, Trump's got to win. And the key thing is, I want somebody to say, do me a favor. And this is going to sound a little bad, but do me a favor. Take the Bible, put it underneath your feet, and stomp it in the ground. Because that's what you just did. That's what you just did when you want to say, I'm not turning my cheek, God. You need an army. I'm not turning my other cheek, God. Don't tell me to love my enemies. I'm not going to do that either. You know, don't tell me you're gonna prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, because I don't care about that, God. You know, I'm gonna twist scripture, do what I want to do, and I don't care about the fact the Lord says, you know, in the Bible, come out from among them, which is the system of the world, and be ye separate, says the Lord. Screw that, God. I don't need that stuff. No, you know, God, you need an army. And so the truth is, I see people who are honestly, don't mean this disrespectfully, who are very warped and have twisted the scriptures of God, especially those in the New Testament. You know, I almost feel like if Jesus was in front of them, they'd slap his face and be very blunt about it. And most of you might right now be like, wow, Jeremy, that's a little harsh right now. The truth is, there are so many scriptures in the New Testament that goes against what some of these people are doing. And I'm not turned on at all by anyone saying, I'm a radical for Jesus. Because, you know, that scares me. I'll be honest with all of you guys. That scares me. You know why? Because you're not a radical for Jesus. If you were, you'd be a radical for peace. You'd be radical for grace. You'd be radical for mercy. You'd be a radical for turning the other cheek. You'd be radical for feeding the poor. You'd be radical for feeding and clothing people. And you know what? When you sit here and you think, you know what, Nancy Pelosi's the devil. Joe Biden's the devil himself. Well, guess what? If they were, first of all, you're dealing with people's families. You're dealing with someone's father and someone's mother. So I'll be honest. So first of all, I would say that's very ugly for you to say. Second of all, I would say this. These are human beings. Are they right in a lot of things? Absolutely not. But you know what God tells me? Love your enemies. So, and first and foremost, they're not my enemies. I don't know them personally, neither do you. If you know them personally, then, and you've witnessed something where they have betrayed you or actually done something to you that can define them as your enemy, then guess what? You have every right. But if you don't know them personally and you call them your enemy, then guess what? You are wrong according to Scripture. Because the truth is, if they were your enemy, which you don't even know them, but whether it's Trump or whoever, if they were your enemy, you would pray for them, and the Bible says to love them. So if you do that, then you're disrespecting the gospel of Jesus Christ, bottom line. No wonder why I watch people like Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer, who stay out of the political arena. You know why? Because they understand the holiness of the Word. They understand the holiness of God, and they don't want to tarnish it and mess it up and smear it, because of the fact their role and their job, as was my job and other people's jobs, is to stick with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who died for me. And that means not to twist and manipulate scripture to be what I want it to be. That is harsh, it's horrible, it's wrong, it's disrespectful, and it is not Christianity. Not Christianity. I remember reading the other day about Jeremiah Johnson, who's a great guy, and yet how Christians literally threatened his life, threaten his family's life. We're talking about Christian people here, folks. He said, I've never had such harshness from Christianity. You know why? Because here's why. And this is what I want to talk about today. Because the church has become so radical where they've lost their sonship and they've lowered their nature and lowered their standard into the army mentality. And this is what I want to share with you guys today. And once again, we'll get back into the more positive, happier messages next week, I promise. Because trust me, that's what I love to do. But when you're hurt, because you see so much damage going on around you, and you're just, it breaks your heart because you've seen the church you once loved, where you want to run from it so much, you're like, I don't want nothing to do with this, be these people, because they're like Hitler. I'm sorry, you're like, whoa, did you? Yes, most people are being like Hitler right now. And they're tearing up stuff, and they're disrespecting people, and they're not loving people. And folks, that's wrong. That's not what the church is. A place for healing people, for anyone, whosoever will, anyone come in the church, and they're loved. And my point being with that is this. Those of you, and I want you to hear me out right now, I'm not going to sit here and say we're not the army of God, because I don't think that's really right to say in an extremity, because that can be an extremity statement. But I'm going to tell you this. One of the things, if you do read the Scriptures, if you truly read the Scriptures without manipulating them and twisting them, you will find that in the New Testament, I'm going to encourage every one of you to do a research. I want every one of you right now to go to your Google, go to your Yahoo, whatever. And in the search engine, I want you to write this. How many times is the word army in the New Testament? Not Old Testament, in the New Testament. And pull it up. Guess what, folks? You ready for this? Drum roll, please. One time. One time, and it's nothing Jesus ever said. Never. Jesus never talked about it. One time, and do you know where that one time is located? In the book of Revelation. That's right, in the book of Revelation, where it talks about the armies of heaven. The armies of heaven. Doesn't even refer to the armies of the earth. Doesn't it refer to as the church being the army? It refers to the fact of the armies in heaven. One time in the New Testament. Now, do you know how many times the word son or sons or sonship is mentioned alone in the New Testament? Over 50 to 65 times. And the reason why I said 50 to 65 times is simply because of the fact you've got the word son, sons, and sonship. 50 to 65 times, folks. And here's what's happening right now in today's modern Christianity. And that is this. So many people look at that and say, that's not what we want to be. You know, we don't want to be a son. We'd rather put on the armor of God, take up some weapons of warfare, and we want to, as they want to twist the Scriptures, we want to take up some weapons and put our armor on, and we're going to attack the enemies of God. And I want somebody to say, first of all, where did God tell you to do that? Second of all, you don't want to be a sonship. You don't want to walk in sonship. You'd rather be an Old Testament believer. See, a lot of these things, folks, some of these prophetic people are pulling are nothing more than Old Testament theology. And to be honest with you, I'll say it once, I'll say it again. If you're going to go into the Old Testament, then do what James said. If you obey one of the laws, you better submit yourself and subject yourself to every one of those laws, which is a dangerous thing, because those laws were fulfilled on the cross of Calvary with Christ. And so if you obey one law, you better obey every one of them. So here's the key thing you have to do. When someone tells me I'm in the army of God, and they refer to themselves as an armor, as putting on the armor, and I'm a warrior for God, I want somebody to say, wow, that's good, but man, I want to introduce you to Jesus, because when you introduce to Jesus, you'll find out that, wow, he can actually bring you a little higher than that and make you a son of the Almighty God. Because the Bible refers to us as sons and daughters. Doesn't refer to us as the army or militant, according to Jesus' words. And I'd rather hear the one who died for me than I would some prophet in the Old Testament or some king in the Old Testament. Hello. I'm just being honest with you guys. And see, this is not popular theology. This is not popular beliefs. And the reason why is because people, unfortunately, have to feel as if they have to be aggressive. They have to be mean-spirited. They have to go get them mentality. It's black or white, hot or cold. And that twisted, demented theology has almost destroyed Christianity within the church today in the Western world. And do you know why? Do you know why? Because we're no longer concerned about loving people. We're no longer concerned about Jesus saying, hey, by the way, the New Testament saying, it is my loving kindness that draws men to repentance. Well, you know what? Loving kindness can sit itself and we'll kick it to the back door. I mean, here's the thing. Let's just kick loving kindness right out the front door and say, adios, amigos. We don't need loving kindness. We need to come against the enemies of God and avenge God and avenge our enemies, I should say. And we need God's fire to come down. Here's where I want you guys to understand. I heard several preachers this week on TV, and one of them actually led their church. You can YouTube it. One of them led their church and was on the stage and said, everybody say this after me. God, in Jesus' name, we avenge your enemies, and we say, Lord, to strike them with vengeance. And people started clapping. And I thought to myself, wow. You know what? You just took the cross of Christ and just broke it. You just slapped Jesus in the face and threw him out the front door. That's what you did. Because that is the most ugliest thing you could ever do. And thank God in heaven. Thank God in heaven that Christ bore my sin and what I deserve And yet here you are pulling up what other people deserve and kicking out and tossing out Jesus. Because you think these people are ugly and they're militant, and you think people that are Democrats or people that were Republicans or people that are, you know, this way or that way, that they hate Jesus. Let me tell you something. First of all, you know, it's wrong to judge a person's heart. Second of all, you know what? Here's a key thing. If you guys want to know the truth about it, here's a key thing. I am against abortion 101%. 101% I am against abortion. However, I am not going to by all means hate someone or consider somebody my enemy because maybe they feel maybe that something is not is okay to do. Because here's the key thing, folks. You know, the Bible says, while you were yet sinners, while you were yet in sin, Christ died for you. Do you know why Christ died for you? Because you were in sin? Because you were considered an enemy of God only because of the simple fact that you were not perfect, you were not righteous, and Christ loved you even as a murderer, even as an adulterer. He loved you even as someone who was cussing and who was drinking and smoking. Not the drinking's wrong, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, like as far as excessive and you know, whatever you want to call debauchery, whatever you want to call it. And yet, thank God that He loved you enough. So loved you enough while you were doing this, and yet you turn around and slap him in the face because you won't give other people the same kind of grace, the same kind of mercy that he gave to you. That's a crying shame. Because you know what? People that believe in different beliefs, that does not make them my enemy. They're not my enemy. They have different beliefs because everyone has a different perspective of life and they see things differently. And you know what? It's not a bother for me. Because if I'm going to make an enemy out of somebody who says, hey, you know what? I believe this or I believe that. And here's what's funny about this is so many people, you know, will come to me and say, oh, you sound like a Democrat. You know what? Here's what's weird. If you feel that you've got that it makes you feel better to put someone like me into a box because that way I'm either for you or against you. If that's who you are, let me tell you something, because I'm neither Democrat or Republican. I'm a Christ follower. I'm a son of the Almighty God. And I will never put myself and belittle what God did for me on the cross, belittle myself by putting myself into some stupid, ridiculous, idiotic party that's going to fade away on this planet. I am not from this world. I am bought with a price, and I refuse to sit back and allow you what God has made me into the place of being a son of God. Belittle me by saying you know what you sound like. Well, first of all, don't judge me because you're just as wrong by judging me. You should point the finger back to yourself, like the Bible says. Are you with me? And once again, folks, understand this. I love you guys. I love everyone. This is not about me talking to you guys. I'm just sharing with you my frustration because of the fact that, and if the shoe fits. You know what? Think about this if it's probably you. But think about the harshness and the ugliness that has become of us. And you know what? And you can't say, oh, you know what? This is Obama's fault. This is Trump's fault. This is, you know, Biden's fault. Let me tell you something. It's no one's fault but yours. Take up responsibility. Put your adult, mature pants on and understand you are the trouble. You are the problem. If this is you, you're the problem. You are disgracing Christianity by taking out the very things that make the character of Christ within us. Because, folks, this is not right. I mean, people are being ripped up. You know, I've known people who were Democrats, and I've seen, I knew a couple of preachers who were Democrats. Love God more than anything, speak in tongues, heal the sick, do whatever they need to do from God. And I've watched the media of Christianity, we'll put it that way, literally destroy them and say, oh my God, I thought you were Christian. I mean, do you realize how harsh that is, folks? Because someone just chooses a political party, an earthly, unimportant, yes, I said unimportant, political party on this planet that one day will fade away, where that will absolutely mean nothing anymore, nothing at all. So when people ask me, they ask me a lot, you know, aren't you concerned that maybe, you know, the electoral, you know, votes, whatever, all these votes, you know, were wrong and disrespectful, and do you think they cheated? Here's what I say. You want to know my answer? To help either stir your fire up in a negative way or calm your fire down, here's what I say. I'm not concerned about that. The Bible says that God raises up kings and God brings them down. That might be Old Testament, yes, but we're going to use it anyway. And so what that means is this. You know what? God's in charge. And for people who don't understand God being in charge, let me tell you something. You know, Winston Churchill was not a godly man, folks. He was a pretty rough dude. He wasn't a godly man by far. But back in the day of Hitler, guess what? He did some good. He did some good. So can God raise up people that I don't agree with? Absolutely. God has every right and he's entitled to do that because I'm not God. And I don't. And if God asked the opinion of man, we would be in major trouble. So guess what? I don't have a problem with someone being in office I don't agree with. Not at all. Who am I to judge to know actually what God will navigate through a person? Because you know what? I've known people who said, I got saved by, or I received Christ from talking to this person over here, and this person maybe cussed up a storm, or maybe they did this or did that. And the truth is, you know what? God can use any vessel he wants to. And God does not ask you for your opinion. And so when people say, well, you know what the prophet said about the second term of Trump? I say, you know what? I don't care. I do not care. I don't follow prophets. And I might be a prophet, which I know I am, but I don't follow prophets. Now, what I mean by that is this. Do I heed to what God's saying to people? Absolutely. But I'd rather hear God myself to say, you know what, God? First of all, I'm not going to speak out against stuff in the sense of standing up for a president or standing up for this or this or this, because you know what? That's not what we need to be doing. As a prophet, my mouth should speak on the glories of God and the praise of God and drawing people to that loving kindness, because that's what we should do. So I'm saying all this to let you guys know right now, you know, that you might have jumped on the bandwagon and you might be involved in some of these people, or some of these prophets who are just ranting and raving about, oh my God, this is disrespectful and these people are thieves and they're stealing. And I don't say this the whole time. Anytime you hear that, you say, Holy Spirit, is that really what a prophet should speak on? Because I thought a prophet was sold out to Jesus. I thought a prophet was here to bring people to the loving kindness of God. I thought a prophet's job is to do like even Agabus did for Paul. Hey, if you go to this island, you're gonna be bound. You know, in the sense of like, you know, hey, about sharing the gospel. Everything revolved around the gospel. But yet now we don't. Now we feel like we've got to bring God's justice or God's vengeance upon somebody. And I'm thinking to myself, let me explain this to you. Do you know in the Bible, there was actually a follower of Christ who said, you know, disciple who said, you know what, you know, why don't you just call fire down upon him, Jesus? He's like, and basically the response was, you know, that's not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to do that. Why would I do that? And yet we have people today calling down fire upon their enemies, of people that don't even know that they're calling their enemies and they don't even know them personally. Does that make that wrong or right? It makes it wrong. It makes it disgustingly wrong, folks. Come on. We've got a great group of followers here for Identity Network. Don't be afraid to speak out and speak up to say, guys, this is just wrong. Because let me tell you something. Here's a key thing. Here's why I'm saying this to you guys. Okay, so if on the inauguration day, if Biden was to be, you know, voted in, or, you know, sworn in, you know what? If it destroys your world, then you know what? You need to understand what world you need to recheck your spirit to know what world you're from. And what world you're pulling your allegiance to. If something of this natural world causes me to be that angry and that sick to my stomach or whatever, then something's wrong with me. Because my allegiance is not to a president. My allegiance is not to the government. My allegiance or to a party, for goodness sake. As if Republicans are Christians, Democrats are non-Christians. I mean, how mean is that? How really mean is that, folks, you know? My allegiance is to a God who is merciful and powerful and loving and kind. And yet when I was cussing him out, he died for me. When I was, you know, getting drunk, he died for me. And yet I can't share that same grace upon people that I don't even know personally and acting like they are haters of God and they're enemies of God. I'm thinking to myself, wow, what kind of people have we become? And we wonder why the Barna Group says all the time, Christianity is declining by leaps and bounds. This is why, folks. This is why. And once again, folks, I know this might not be the message, you know, some of you wanted to hear today, you know, because you might be like, I'm trying to escape all that political junk, Jeremy. And trust me, next week we'll be back on board, folks. We really will. But I wanted to say this, because you know what? The truth is this. Is God raised up an army? Not really. Not really. You know what God's raising up? He's raised up sons and daughters. The very thing he died for, he didn't die to make me an army, or he didn't die to make me a warrior. He died to make me a son. And he was the firstborn among. He was the firstborn, which is what only begotten son. He's the firstborn among many brethren, not many armies, not many, you know, fighters, not many warriors. He's the firstborn among many brethren. I am a son of God. I'm the brother of Jesus because of what he did for me. So you know what? No, I don't buy into that. I don't. I don't have to divide in that. Ephesians chapter 6, if you read it, all it talks about is putting on Jesus. That's all it means. Putting on Jesus. That's what the armor is. It's putting on Christ. What I fight is the good fight of faith for me. You know why? Because I am working out my own salvation in fear and trembling. I don't have time to point fingers to anyone else. You know why? Because I got to work on me. And so do you. You got to work on yourself. When you begin to feel like you got to that you're fine, and you got to go and attack other people and call vengeance upon them, and we got to get involved. We got to get involved, you know, in the political arena. If that's who you are, hey, you know what? Fine, but do me a favor. Don't come to me crying. Don't come to me in a life coaching session saying you're distraught. You feel like your world's falling apart. Because I'm going to say that shows you that your world should be passing away. And behold, there's a new heaven, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, which means righteous people in the sense of not being self-righteous, but being people who are humbled and loving and kind and understand the ways of Christ. That's the kind of people God is raising up. So see, if you want to be a warrior in the army of God and you're raising up an army of God, hey, go for it. But let me just put it to you this way. You are really, really, really disrespecting the very nature of what He died to make you. And that is to be a powerful, amazing son and daughter of the Most High God. And my prayer for you today is that you begin to see this and understand this. Because you know what? Let me tell you something. Folks, it's not a sacrifice to fight. Let me tell you something. It's very easy to anger people. Think about it. It's very easy to anger people. It's very easy to get stirred up. I'm stirred up to, you know, take this on. That doesn't require stuff. But I'll tell you what is required. It's a lot harder to discipline your flesh, discipline your emotions, and say, I'm going to love even from those who hate me. Because that's what Jesus told us to do. I'm going to love those who despitefully use me. I'm going to love these people. I'm going to give people grace that I received. I'm going to give people other people grace. I'm not going to be part of a conspiracy theory thing that everybody's out to get me, everybody hates me. And if they do, who really cares? If God be for me, who could be against me? Who cares? You know, I'm not concerned about that. So here's what I would say to you, folks. Know who you are. Know the true definition of who you are. And the day you throw out the character of Jesus, of the things He said to you, then I would say to you, if you step out of that character, then step out of Christianity. Do me a favor, step out of Christianity then, because you don't want to disrespect it. And you don't want to twist the very thing that He died to give. A lot of us who understand the power of love. All right? Because you cannot be a Christian and kick out the character of Christ. You just can't do it. So I want to encourage every one of you today, pray for these people. Pray for these mean-spirited people that feel like they have to make a stand. They have to fight. They have to argue. They have to destroy things. Take a stand against that and say, we choose love. We choose love because Jesus, the one who told us, the one who died with Jesus, I'd rather choose what He said about me, not some Old Testament scripture. If you feel like you've got to walk, march through Jericho and do this, hey, you just remember, that was thousands of years ago. We're not required to do that anymore. Not at all. What I'm required to do is love the Lord thy God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second thing is to do is to love my neighbor, which means love everyone else that's outside of Jesus as just as much as I love myself. And when people begin to get in this warfare mood, what they're saying to me is this: I don't love myself, so I don't love my enemy. But when you can't love your neighbor, here's what you're saying to me. You're telling me I hide behind the mask of hating everyone and fighting against everyone else that I claim to be my enemies, only because, Jeremy, I'm scared. And like Twyla Paris once in the 80s said, the warrior's a child, because inside of me I'm a scared little child because I don't know who I am. That's what you're saying to me. Let me tell you something, folks, and I'll close with this. It's very easy to stir up an emotion to fight. It's a lot harder to discipline yourself and say, you know what, not my will, God, but thy will be done. I will decrease today that you can increase in me. That's where a true son and daughter knows maturity, knows the power of discipline. That to me is a real warrior. So folks, thank you again for tuning in. I hope you guys are always are blessed by these podcasts. And please let me know. Write in to us. Let customer service know. They'll give me the email and stuff. But let us know what you think about this podcast. Let us know how you feel. Because I want you guys to be a part of this amazing journey that we're taking, you know, as far as understanding the power of God, understanding exactly being positive, you know, thoughts becoming things, but also understanding what Jesus really, really wants us to do. Because I'm going to tell you something. He's not up there on his throne with his hands in his fist saying, get them, America. Get those Democrats, America. You get Joe Biden. No, you know what? I would never disrespect Jesus that way. You know what he's doing? He's on his throne. He's on his throne. His heart is being extended to every one of us to say, you know what, people? Decrease and realize I loved you when you were a horrible person. Decrease your attitude and let my attitude become part of you. Get into my heart. Get into the mind of who I am and understand how much I walked through the crowd that wanted to kill me. I died for those who literally threw stones at me and says, crucify me. I literally began to do the place where I loved people and prostitutes who deserved a lot worse. I picked them up and loved on them. And I let them wash my feet with anointing oil. That's, folks, that is true, a true power of a son of God. So thank you again for tuning in to me, this podcast today. And folks, as always, go and create your day and create the day you want today. You deserve that. And God is blessing you to say, hey, you know what? What is it kind of world do you want? Create that for yourself and your family. And teach your children to be lovers of God and lovers of people, not haters. Not conspiracy theories, that they grow up in almost like a looking over the shoulder constantly mentality. Teach your children the power of love, folks. Love people. Thank you so much, guys, and have a blessed day.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.